Hi everyone, I'm Wendy and I work at, in the HIV surveillance team at New South Wales Health, and I'm happy to be here today to talk to you about how our time to treatment initiation has improved in New South Wales over the past few years and talk about some of the factors that might be affecting that. So why is this important? Well, as we all know, the benefits of early antiretroviral treatment are now well established for both the individual and for the community. And we now know that early treatment prevents disease progression and allows for preservation and possible recovery of immune function. And then there are the immense public health benefits of treatment as prevention. And both Australian and international guidelines now recommend starting treatment as early as possible as long as the person is ready. And with this in mind, in New South Wales, our goal is to start 90% of people newly diagnosed with HIV on treatment within 6 weeks of diagnosis. We actually want to go a bit better than that and reduce this time frame even further as we approach the end of our current strategy in 2020. And so how are we going so far? Well, in New South Wales, we collect data at both diagnosis and at the six-month post-diagnosis time point. And so we currently have complete information until the end of 2018, as you can see on this graph here, which shows time to treatment over the last 5 years. So if you look at the nicely descending red line in the middle there, this shows the median number of days from diagnosis to treatment. That's more than halved over the past 5 years, and it's now sitting at about 19 days. And looking at two other important time points for today, the green line, which shows the proportion of people who start treatment within 6 weeks, and in 2018 that happened for 83% of people. And when we think about even quicker treatment initiation, have a look at the dark blue line at the bottom there. And this shows the proportion of people who start treatment within just 2 weeks of diagnosis. And this proportion has pretty much doubled from 2017 to 2018, which is pretty exciting. So while we're tracking well, there's still plenty of work to be done. And so if we want to keep improving time to treatment, especially as we move into the era of really rapid treatment, we need to understand what the factors are that are involved, what are the barriers that need to be overcome, and what are the enablers that we can learn from. And we wanted to understand what's currently important in New South Wales, specifically what are the main factors affecting time to treatment within 6 weeks and within 2 weeks of diagnosis in New South Wales. And so we used our routinely collected surveillance data to perform logistic regression to explore which variables had the most influence. And we looked at just the new diagnoses in 2016, 17, and 18, as we thought this would reflect current issues, noting that there were quite significant changes in policy and recommendations before that in 2015 and 14. So we looked at 14 different explanatory variables across these different categories. So first I'll just quickly go through our findings and then we'll talk about what it might all mean. So for treatment at 6 weeks, I don't want to spend too much time on these next busy slides coming up, but just to say that the variables that are highlighted in red were significant in the univariate analysis for treatment at 6 weeks. So gender, primary language, length of time in Australia, year of diagnosis, viral load at diagnosis, and the follow-up outcome were important at 6 weeks. But many other variables weren't, like where you live, Indigenous status, country of birth, weren't actually significant in the univariate analysis. When we put all these into the multivariate model, we found that the model that best fit our data just contained these three variables, which was year of diagnosis, viral load at diagnosis, and unsurprisingly, the follow-up outcome. We'll discuss this a little bit more later on. And so we followed the same procedure for being on treatment at 2 weeks. And again, the variables that are highlighted in red are those that were significant in the univariate analysis. As before, primary language, but this time country of birth, time in Australia, diagnosing doctor type, which we'll talk a bit about more in a minute, and then again, year of diagnosis and viral load at diagnosis were important. And then if we look at the multivariate model, we found that the model that best fit our data just contained these four variables. So again, year of diagnosis and viral load at diagnosis, and this time also primary language and Interestingly, the diagnosing doctor type was important for 2 weeks. And so what were our main findings? Well, for being on treatment at 6 weeks, as we would expect, changes in clinical culture and practice in later years meant that being diagnosed in 2017 or 18 meant that your chances of being on treatment within 6 weeks were higher. And in terms of follow-up outcome, I mean, it makes sense that if people are lost to follow-up or have left New South Wales, that it would appear, according to our data, that they hadn't were less likely to have started treatment in a timely way compared to those who were retained in care. But this also might be a bit reflective of some missing information. Some people may have started treatment within 6 weeks elsewhere, and we just didn't know about it. And the other finding was that higher viral loads at diagnosis were associated with being on treatment at 6 weeks. And we think that particularly for the higher categories of viral loads, that is 100,000 copies per mil or more at diagnosis, it's probably influenced by people who are seroconverting, because we know that clinicians would take particular care to get those people on treatment in a really timely way. And so I guess the good news message here is that for starting treatment at 6 weeks, it's happening for most people most of the time, and we haven't identified any particular barriers. But if we look at treatment at 2 weeks, there are some different variables which are important. So as before, being diagnosed in later years and having a higher viral load would increase your chances of being on treatment at 2 weeks. But there's some interesting things to look at here as well. So people who are diagnosed by a non-S100 GP, their odds of being on treatment by 2 weeks were actually about 65% less than people who were diagnosed at a sexual health clinic. And similarly, those whose first language was not English, their odds were about half the chance of someone whose first language was English of being on treatment within 2 weeks. And so I'd like to talk about these two last findings in a little bit more detail. So first of all, primary language. So I guess if your primary language is not English, that might mean that you were born overseas. It might mean that you spent a shorter period of time in Australia. And this means that obtaining health information, in particular for treatment, you know, understanding your condition and what that means to start treatment, that might take a bit more time. You might have to access information in a different language, or you might have to try and process the information that's provided to you in English. That might take a bit longer if your first language is not English. And also, it might mean that you're spending longer time negotiating our quite complex healthcare system. And then, possibly most importantly, it may mean that you do not have access to Medicare, which is going to directly affect your timely access to antiretroviral treatment. And so what can we do? Well, while not specific to HIV treatment, improving access to healthcare and information is a huge step in helping people feel that they're included and that they're safe in the Australian healthcare system. There's already a lot of great work going on in New South Wales to help people from linguistically diverse backgrounds to manage their sexual health. For example, in New South Wales, we now have a community testing site run by ACON, which has sessions specifically for Mandarin-speaking people. And lots of community organizations already have their information in different languages and are continually translating more of their information into different languages. And later on in this session, there's also some talks about all the work going on with the university students and trying to find out the best ways to support them with their sexual health and sexuality. And I guess the final issue is having sustainable access to treatment if you're not eligible for Medicare. And our clinics are really great at getting people who don't have Medicare access onto treatment, usually via the Compassionate Access Scheme. But this process obviously takes a bit longer than a standard prescription, which could be the reason that it's affecting time to treatment at 2 weeks. And the second important finding is about the diagnosing service. So I think this is probably mostly explained by the various steps that are required if you're diagnosed in general practice rather than by a specialist. So, you know, the sample has to go to a private lab for screening and then on to the reference laboratory for confirmatory testing. And this can mean that it can be a week, possibly longer, before the confirmed result is available to the GP. The GP then needs to recall the patient, give the result, refer them into specialist care. The patient has to go to specialist care before they even have a chance at getting a prescription. And they may then need to wait for more blood tests depending on their medical history and the choice of treatment. So how can we chip away at these delays? Well, one option in New South Wales is the HIV support program. So when HIV is diagnosed by a non-specialist clinician, they're actually offered support by a local HIV clinician who will assist them on the best way to deliver the result and any other services required, and also expedite them into specialist care. And in practice, this can often mean that the specialists see the patient on that very day that they get the result from the GP. They often keep a spot open in clinic. So that really does cut down some of the time in this pathway. However, because only confirmed results are notified in New South Wales, it doesn't really cut down much on the first part up there, so getting the sample to the confirmatory lab in the first place. And so we think there might be some scope to expand the HSP, whereas private labs could tell us about a reactive screening result above a certain cutoff, that is, and we could action the HSP much earlier on, with a caveat that the result still needs to be confirmed. And this is already happening at one private lab in New South Wales, and it works really, really well. So conclusions. Well, the good news is that overall time to treatment initiation continues to improve in New South Wales. There are very few factors affecting being on treatment by 6 weeks, but language and diagnosing service are important for being on treatment at 2 weeks post-diagnosis. There's lots of work by lots of different partners to improve access to care and information in language for people whose primary language is not English. The HSP helps non-specialist services support patients into care, and Medicare eligibility is likely to be a continuing barrier for getting people under treatment within really rapid timeframes. And I'd just like to thank all the people that we work together in New South Wales.